Welcome.
And welcome to this week's Mungal Show. I am Matt Mungal. As always, appreciate you hanging out with us each week. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. I hope you're having a good time, whatever you're doing. And if you're listening to this post-Father's Day, well, hope you enjoyed that as well. Remember, everything that we do, you can check out mungalshow.com. Talking about the big screen, the little screen, everything in between. And joining me, as always, from this chicksflix.com, it is Susan Kamyab Stevens.
Hey,
what's happening?
Nothing much. I'm actually watching. I finally started another series too, off campus. That's been out for a while, but I was like dragging my feet because I knew I'd want to binge it.
Yeah, Kimberly binged that last week, I guess it was.
Oh, Kimberly watched it. Did she like it?
Yeah, she thought it was fun. I mean, sometimes it's just she likes those, like, you know, something you can just kind of veg out and watch, and you know, it's not groundbreaking, but it's entertaining. If nothing else,
that's what it is. I'm like, it's fine. It's not summer. I turned pretty, but I can watch it.
So. Right. Yeah. It felt like I didn't watch it, but I'd pop in and every now and then. And it seemed like in that vein of those kind of shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, this is much more like college sex and like mm-hmm. very college frat kind of thing. So it's not as like innocent as the summer I turned pretty and like wholesome with like the family mm-hmm. storyline and stuff, but I mean it's one of my friends told me, he was like, it's like CW with a lot of sex, like a CW show with like x-rated, and I was like, yeah, that's what it is.
So, you're like, I'm in.
Yeah, I was like, sounds like I'll love it. So I'm entertained. It's not gonna be like my all-time favorite show, but I can continue with it.
Yeah like I said, she liked it pretty much, so mm-hmm. yeah, she'll sit down. She's kind of like you. She'll just binge stuff. I mean, she just, I don't know how she finds the time, but I'm like, what are you doing? It's funny.
I know. Yeah. We find the time with this stuff.
We do. Which there's an interesting question I'm going to bring up later in the show about that. Okay. But I want to kind of just start off. You were in, can we talk about your LA trip? I know you don't sure. like, sometimes like to talk about it, but.
No, I can talk about it.
Yeah. So this was for, I guess, a show. It's funny. I had not heard of the show when you texted me what it was for. And then all of a sudden it's just popping up all over my, you know, Netflix scroll, you know, so.
It's a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's on Netflix, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You hadn't seen anything for it?
I hadn't until you texted, unless it's like that red truck syndrome where I had, but it didn't register. But then after you said you were going to LA for it, then I started seeing it. So I don't know how, if I'd seen it before and just not.
You definitely at least saw like a poster for it or something. Because I know I shared it one time and you were like, how was it? And I was like, I haven't seen it yet. And this was like when it was like announced.
Oh, that movie. Oh, yeah. I remember that. I remember that text. You're like, what do you think I can't wait to see it means?
Yeah, I was annoyed because I was like, I literally put like, can't wait to see it. And you're like, how was it? I was like, is that a joke?
Sometimes you're a little bit sneaky, though. Sometimes you've seen stuff. Well, like, I can't wait to see it means I can't wait for y'all to see it and me to talk about it sometimes.
I think I had written, I can't wait to see it, but whatever.
Details.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was a quick trip out and back, so, but it was fun. It looks like you had a good time.
Yeah, no, it was a very short trip. I mean, I went there, checked in to my hotel and pretty much just like waited until the premiere. And Netflix has this like, oh, so you have been there because you went to Maestro there. Where you saw Maestro?
Oh, is it that the same building? Place as Maestro? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't recognize
that,
the
like,
name.
That starry building and everything. Mm-hmm. And that was that theater. So that's like their like, kind of fairly new building, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like they built to have like a room for a screening, a bar, after party, and then they have like across, because they have multiple buildings, they also have this other building that's like curated, like handmade for junkets. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice, like a great setup that they have over there. But that's where the premiere was. We're the same place you saw Maestro, and they gave us the popcorn and water, and then we watched the movie. Brittany Snow was there. I saw Brittany Snow.
Wow.
She was in the audience. I didn't go up to her, but I saw her and I was like, oh my God, Brittany Snow is here. She's friends with Liam McKendrick, so I'm not surprised. But Madeline Klein was there, Lucas Gage, because he's in the movie. Mm-hmm. Leah Thompson was there, Zoe's mom.
Yeah.
I love her.
I do too. That's one of my old school crushes right there, man. That was the first one of the first.
I would say that's one of my old school girl crushes. I was obsessed with Caroline in the City.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved, and I like Leah Thompson had been in some like 80s movies and other stuff like that. And I always just thought she was like one of the most beautiful actresses like ever. Right. And so I didn't go up to her. Like someone said she was there and I was like, I couldn't find her at the after party. And then I saw pictures of her. But yeah, just watched the movie and then there was an after party right after. It was really, honestly, it was very small. I don't feel like a lot of people were there. Like it mm-hmm. wasn't a huge, like as far as press or anything, and unless I missed it or, but we did that. And then the next day was the junket. And, I will just say with the after party, that was the first after party where people really, really danced. Like it turned into almost like a wedding, like, cause the music felt like wedding music mm-hmm. and they were like making like circles. People were like dancing in the middle, like the people, like the stars, the cast, not regular people like me. But I was just like a spectator in the like crowd dance, yeah. like swaying along. But yeah, I mean, everybody was really nice. And then, so then we went to the interview and it both went well. It was great to see Leah McKendrick. I just love her. Obviously, I'm like
mm-hmm. diehard. She did Scrambled, fans. Right?
Mm-hmm. She did yeah. Scrambled. Yeah.
Which is one of your, really, that was your favorite, almost one of your favorite films that year.
It was. It was my number one.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah,
it was my number one. I would say it's probably in my, if I was to do, I really have to like figure out what my top 20 would be of all time, but I would like to think that would be in there. Yeah. It was great to see her and Zoe Deutsch was really great. Nick Robinson was nice too. Zoe just has a lot more like pep and mm-hmm. excitement in her stuff. I mean, but he was friendly and then went home.
Nice. Nice. Well, that's a good time. It's a good time to get away and do those. I think those are the kind of perks that I think keep us engaged in what mm-hmm. we do, you know, it's just a fun little, I know that traveling can be a beat down sometimes and it's a lot of logistics, but you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of a good thing to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's the one thing I do have that other one. I told you I have the one for Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. I leave on Sunday for that, but so it's a little close together, but I mean, I appreciate it. It's good to do these. And so I was like, all right.
Yeah. And I know nothing about Last Airbender. Nothing.
I mean, I watched it all once they invited me. And it's not bad. It's not mm-hmm. a bad show. I mean, season 2 is coming out next week, next mm-hmm. Friday. And, you know, just if we're talking on streaming, just before I move on, I should say absolutely watch voicemails for Isabel, by the way, that you should watch it with Kimberly. I bet Kimberly has already seen it.
She hasn't. Yeah, we might watch that kind of.
It's very sweet and funny and a great rom com and very nostalgic of those 90s rom coms and everything. So that's a great one. Last Airbender, you're not going to like it, but it's geared. Well, no, it's very much geared towards kids. I think
that's what it felt like.
Yeah, it feels sometimes. Well, it's like an association with like a Nickelodeon production too. Mm-hmm. So. In that sense, like, I don't know if like you'd love it, but I can totally see kids being into it. It feels like a very high quality production, kid show, but it's like, it does have a good storyline. I will say the storyline is pretty engaging. Like I'll watch the third season too. But yeah.
And that story's been around forever. Are these continuations mm-hmm. of the story or are they just remaking the story in different formats? Because I know, I mean, when Katie, our middle daughter, who's 26 now, about to turn, yeah, just turned 26. When she was little, she was obsessed with The Last Airbender.
Was she the same cartoon?
I think it was the animated one back then. But then didn't M. Night do like a live action one at one point or somebody did?
There was a live action one. I heard that one was terrible.
Yeah, it was. Horrible.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, I saw it because they were going to do several of them, I think. And then that one tanked so bad, they just stopped.
But, wow, that's telling, because this show has a fan base already. Like mm-hmm. there's diehard, but that's probably because the anime was such a diehard too.
And I think this story is made for that format. I think it's made mm-hmm. more for that sort of anime than it would be for live action because of the audience, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. I yes, I completely agree. I think that it's, I mean, I have no idea if it relates to the cartoon or the movie and stuff like that. I'm sure, I mean, I'm sure it does, but, I mean, like I said, it's entertaining.
Well, that's good enough. Yeah. Well, good. Hopefully it'll be a good, quick, easy trip.
Yeah. And that one doesn't have any like parties or anything. It's like Sunday is all day. Just like check in when you can't like go into your hotel and, and then it's literally junket and then come back. So
yeah.
So pray for smooth flight. There's no issues.
Yeah. The World Cup, I think, is messing with a lot of flights.
Oh my God. There's so many FIFA people. Like, wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Everybody, if you're flying into Philly or Seattle or Kansas City or Dallas or LA, just expect a delay because it is just a madhouse. But that's good. That's good for the the country, I think. And I'm glad the World Cup is here.
It's great to see all the people be so kind to America and like be like into it. Like, ooh, look at this food and all that stuff. But I mean, kind to what we have, not necessarily like our politics, but they like Walmart and restaurants.
Oh, I know. It's amazing watching them like just fawn over the stuff we take for granted every day. And if they've heard about their whole life, you know.
Well, it's nice because I feel like, you know, we do the same thing if we go to their country. Yep. So it's like, it's cool to see that happening here. You know, I'll go if we, oh, is this what you do? Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I just wish
you into FIFA?
Have I what? I'm sorry.
Are you into FIFA? Are you following FIFA? Do you care?
I follow FIFA the same way that I follow the Olympics. I know nothing about the people in the Olympics, but I like watching it because it happens every 4 years and it's this whole pageantry and stuff. I watch FIFA the same way. I know nothing about soccer. I know nothing about soccer players, teams, rules, none of that. But I've watched, you know, several games already only because I feel like it's here and it's this great thing with the whole world, you know, fighting for this cup. So, I mean, I'm still not a soccer fan. I'm just a fan of the events, you know, it just looks fun. So
you're watching more than I am.
Yeah. So once it's over, I will still know. I won't know any more about soccer than I already do. So it's just what it is. I just wish when we invited the whole world into our home that our drunk uncle wasn't still here. But, you know, what are you going to do? I know. Nothing you can do or say.
Yeah. I know. But there's some hope in November. That's what's getting me through.
There is.
There's big hope in November. So
yep. I am holding out
just
for
make
hope
sure.
And I'm being positive.
Just make sure you go out and vote.
Yep. Got to do it. You got to get out there and vote.
Well, and I don't mind talking about this because thank God going to LA, I am very glad. I don't know if you, and speaking of like television, you saw that the mayor election's going on right now. They've narrowed it down to two candidates, but one of the strong contenders was Spencer Pratt, who was a part of the Hills. Did you even see any of that?
I didn't see any of that.
Oh, well, I watched The Hills as a kid and in like college and everything like that. And this guy is just like a wacky, unqualified, like reality star who has no experience. His house got burned down in the fires. And then he's just like, oh, you know what? Well, I'm going to try to be mayor. Mm-hmm. If you watch any of his interviews, you'd be like, oh, gosh. And thank God it was close there for a minute, but he didn't make it to the top two, so he got it. But I was just thinking about like LA would have probably like lost it if he was mayor.
Probably. You know, and it's funny, I may have seen that. We've talked about this before. It's like there's so much fake stuff on social media these days that when you see something like that, like, ooh, former reality star or whoever running for, you just, do you believe it or not? It's like, and I don't want to take the time to research most of that stuff.
No.
So. Yeah, but it's interesting. It's crazy out there with politics right now, but yeah.
Yeah, but there have been these like really nice, like I was talking to someone about this and I was like, there's been these small wins. Oh yeah, one of my friends, I was like, Spencer Pratt didn't win. Frisco just had a huge mayor election as well that the good guy won, and versus somebody that was aligned with drunk uncle, as you want to call it. And then we have like the hope in November. So it's just, I don't know. There was that iconic one in Fort Worth, that flip in Fort Worth that happened not too long ago. That was huge.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Just, yeah. There's a lot of stuff happening that that should make us feel good about what's coming up. So
yeah,
that's all we can do, man. Just keep our head down and do what's right. If we all just do what's right,
be kind,
do what's right and vote for the right people, then, you know, let your voice be heard. I mean, that's one of our privileges and we should do it. So.
Absolutely. Agreed. Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. We're going to get into some more of what we're watching. I did want to talk about that trip because that looked like you had a lot of fun. I'm sure people can go out there and check out your interviews on your socials and your website, thischicksflix.com. Yeah. Some of the stuff we've watched, both of us have watched. I don't want to talk about that first. Or do you want to talk about American Sweethearts? Because American Sweethearts debuted Netflix this past Tuesday.
Did you watch it?
We are, I think, 6 episodes in right now.
Oh, what? You just have one left.
Yeah, yeah. We're really, really, they just had game one. So I don't know how many we have left. So I don't,
did you finish episode 6 or you started it?
I don't remember if we finished it or we're like, I know we started it. I'm not sure where we are.
Okay.
We've watched quite a bit. So
yeah, I binged it once they gave it to me like before it came out. So
Yeah, we started it on our preview and then we watched like the first 2-3 episodes. Yeah, and then picked it up on Tuesday when everybody got it. So what do you think about this season compared to the past seasons?
That was a good question. I was going to ask you that. Does it feel different than the first two seasons to you?
It feels different. I don't know if, I don't use the word blame. I don't know if the pool of it being a Netflix show. Kelly, who's, you know, obviously part of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders forever, she mentioned something in passing in one episode about what they have control over and don't have control over anymore. Almost like she alluded to in an interview with, I think it was either Variety or the Today Show, that because somebody asked, like, you know, they even said, well, it feels kind of different. And she was like, well, you know, there's things that we have control over on the field and some things we don't. And then she's kind of let it go. So I don't know. I don't know why it feels different. It's still a good show. It's still very
absolutely
great, but it does feel different. It does feel
obviously
different.
I still like binged it in like 2 days, maybe. Like I couldn't stop. And I will say again, what I really like that they did is that they still highlight a lot of team members. I do like personal stories. I think the Reese thing is really a little like leaving a bit of like a bad taste in my mouth. Just like I'm bummer, I guess, more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, this season seems to focus a lot on the social media aspect of what they're posting, not posting, and what is being said about them and how they are dealing with people posting stuff about them, which watching that, it's infuriating and it's sad and it's, you know, these girls are out there, they're using their talents and working hard. And you've got somebody sitting on a couch that doesn't even know them posting ugly stuff. It's like, I mean, it's our society today. Everybody wants to be ugly online for attention and likes and follows. And, you know, and these are real people seeing this. You can't avoid it. And there's no way you could read that and be like if people were posting about us going, that's, you know, just dogging us about stuff they don't even know. It's going to affect you. You can't be.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Which I think like is so, I mean, to this day, I still do not get how someone is a keyboard warrior and chooses to like publicly, like behind their own handle, like say something negative. Like I, as much as I hate certain people, I still have not ever just been like, or dislike or whatever. Like I have not been like, let me just like, you know what, you suck or you need to go kill yourself or what is wrong with you? Right. You know what I mean? Like I've never,
why did you wear that? You look dumb in that or why, you know, you look like you're just tired out on the field. It's like,
yeah. And
ugly
never,
stuff.
The ugly stuff that they say to these cheerleaders, like about their appearance or their dance move. Who are we to judge them? Like they're still doing better than I would. They still look better. Like, oh my God, they look great. And it's just like, they're like the way that they were like, oh, did you see that form and all this stuff? I was like, what am I seeing? Like, what are you talking about? You're like, I just think people like that who are spending more time like typing out negative remarks to cheerleaders or whoever that is always going to say something more about themselves than what they're writing. Like you have one, like that's such an ugliness in your heart to try to like bring somebody down like that, that you don't even know. And it's cowardly because you wouldn't do that to their face probably, but also it's just, I mean, I will never choose to write like negatively directly to someone like that. I know it's a little, sound a little hypocritical because we are critics and we write negative reviews sometimes, but that is a constructive professional manner where we have to critique a body of work, like a film or something.
Right.
But I'm not going to go to like Steven Spielberg's account and be like, you know what, Mr. Spielberg, what were you thinking with Disclosure Day? Let's talk about this. Are you are washed up. You know, like I don't even feel that way. I still think he's amazing, but I'm just like, that's where it's like they're writing this stuff to them. Like what?
I know. Yeah, I don't get it. And it's you know, it starts with, I think, just a mindset of when their kids are young with social media and they start this and nobody's taught them that it's wrong and they just get into this habit of, I don't know, but I feel like, to kind of circle back to what we said about the show feeling different. I don't know if it's part of that because they are focusing a lot on that. You know, they had a lot of newcomers in there. And I wanted to ask you, again, these women are so talented. Their abilities and the things that they do and just the strenuousness of what they do is crazy. But there's a young lady, I think her name's Faith, from Australia. She is in there. They reached out to her to audition. I don't even think she really knew. I mean, everybody knows who the Dallas Cowboys are, but I mean, she wasn't really engaged in that. They reached out to her. She came over, made the team. Spoiler alert. How do you feel about that aspect? Because there were other women on this squad who tried out, who one in particular said she wanted to do this since she was 5 years old. And she doesn't make it. But then they choose somebody who doesn't really even probably care that much about the Cowboys and is kind of doing it for the dance and for the, and this is nothing against Faith. Don't get me wrong. This is nothing. I think she deserved it and earned it.
Yeah.
But as a judge, I would sometimes be like, okay, yeah, maybe Faith's a little bit better, but where does the passion of long time wanting to do something went out?
But
you know,
I know which one you're talking about. I think there's a lot of things that we all have dreamed of for a really long time and have passion, but I don't think that's why we should pick whoever we're picking for the cheerleaders. Sure. I will say, I think that's what I really commend like Judy and Kelly on, is that I do think they're picking the most skilled squad. Like they're, I wasn't against them reaching out to Faith because what she can do there. From making the team to now, they're like, they probably feel this pressure of like, we have to continue having like really skilled dancers. And Faith brings something that the others don't, because she's like double jointed. She's like
she's a bendable buddy, man.
She's bendable. She can do things on when they do the tour, they do that dance tour too. She's going to offer something that none of the other girls do. But also, I mean, she's going to be a very unique cheerleader in the squad. That girl, I did like her at first, the one you're talking about who was like since I was five, but she was kind of like that same girl, Journey, who I liked in the beginning too. Both of them should come back, try out next year, next season. They're not bad. I thought they started out really great. Also, the one who was the goth one, you know, like they start out so hot, me too. And I thought they were going to make it. I thought all three of those would make it, but they lose their spark. But like on that, what you just said is like, think about Dayton. I could not believe Dayton was trying out again.
I know. I feel the worst for her, because I feel that so legacy curse and that legacy pressure is a lot. Mm-hmm. So, and going back to Faith too, I don't want it to sound like I don't think she should have made it, because also not just with her ability, she is so bubbly and I think effervescent, and I just love her personality. And I think she brings a lot of upbeat, pure. I don't think there's a mean girl bone in her body, as from what we've seen. She's just enjoying it and using her talents. And I'm glad she's in there. It just, I don't know. I guess as a fan of the Cowboys and of the cheerleaders, and like you said, we've all had those dreams and passions that we've wanted and got missed over on, you know, and I just I'm always going to feel for that person who's like, you know.
I do feel for her, but I guess part of me didn't feel that bad because I was like, I don't think her, I think that dream is still within reach.
Sure.
It is. I think if she
Kimberly's goes, always like, Kimberly's like you, she's like, you know what? At the end of the day, you got to make it. There's going to be people who do and don't. You can't just feel sorry. You can't give somebody a position just because they want it, you know?
Yeah. I want the ones who are the best. And this is every season, they get better and better. These dancers are like trained professionals. And so you can't keep up. You're not going to make it. I mean, that's just the level of where that squad is at now. I mean, it's just like, it's also, it's in any job. I mean, I would say, like, if you think about it, like, even probably in your field, I know in my field, there was a time where, like, the level of skill of what you could do at a television station was very much minimal. And now because of technology and editing software and all this stuff, like, you got to keep up with it. Like, some people know how to do some really crazy cool stuff. Mm-hmm. We're going to pick that person over somebody that, oh, I mean, that's really sweet that you want to. Do this, but then, but this person knows like After Effects. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And you've got to, you have to evolve as well. You have to be able to move with wherever the system's going. I don't know the last time you were at a Cowboy game live.
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, we were there. It's been almost 2 years now for us. We went January of 25. But it's funny to me. I always think about this every time I watch the show because they're so focused on hand placement, and I watch the cheerleaders because obviously after watching these for so many seasons, I'm like, I'm looking for stuff. If they miss a hash mark, and I'm a marching band guy, so I know the importance of footwork and hash marks and all of the timing.
You know what hash mark is? I never even heard that. Okay.
Yeah, so I know what it means to look for, to be out of step and out of, and I'm looking at them, I'm going, I don't see anything wrong, and it's like it's like I don't think the most people in the crowd are going to know if your hand is turned in or out, if your foot is turned above the knee or just a little bit below the knee. And I know they focus so much on it, but I'm like, nobody's really going to see that.
I think it's ridiculous too, because they were showing that these people criticizing things like whatever. And I was just like, you guys have way too much time in your hand. Way too much time to be worrying if a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader didn't get like half a second on beat or something like that. Like, who cares? It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But they're fun to watch. And I'm glad they're just still doing all the Thunderstruck and the babies and all the stuff. And I love watching. I know when Netflix took over this show, you know, I talked about the transition and it's better because we get so much of the all off field emotion. But I do sort of miss, and I like more when they show the tryouts and the physicality and the stuff that happens with the choreography and stuff. So,
yeah, just going back to your original question, I will say, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think what it is that feels, well, there's something with the final episode, and I'll let you get there and then I'll tell you that later. But I think it's this seems a little sadder. Maybe that's what it is. Cause like, Reese's storyline is sad. It's bittersweet. And then you're right, the social media stuff, it makes me feel icky. Like, I just don't like it. I feel bad for the girls. I feel bad for everyone involved. There's also like, there's a lot of like, it seems to be like the theme of the season is like, some of it is like Kelly not saying I love you enough to the girls and supporting them. And it's just like, it seems like a little bit more of a downer. And maybe that's on purpose to just be like, this is what they go through. This is their humanizing them. That's like a big thing they want to do. Maybe they were coming off too like perfect. I mean, I didn't think that, but I still like this more than making the team because watching making, because I, you know, I binged it obviously after season two, because I wanted to have a fair opinion. I did like the audition stuff, but there's some stuff that I'm so glad we're not watching anymore that they dragged out. And I love getting the like more of their personal life. I think the personal life is what making the team did not humanize them as much as this. It did some of them, but this really is like, I don't know. I think it's better.
Yeah, it is. And obviously you're going to get the production value that Netflix can bring that nobody else did. So I'm glad they're still doing it. It'll be interesting to see how this season, if they keep doing it, I feel like they will, I feel like every day I'm going to see an email, or not an email, because she wouldn't email me, a post from Kelly and them going, hey, I'm out. I'm retiring. I'm moving on. I'm doing something else, you know?
I mean, it's if been they so leave, long. The show has to end. Like, there's no way. Like, I don't know. You can't. They're so good at what they do as, like, they're the heart of the show. I mean, as much as we love seeing the cheerleaders, Kelly, it always comes back to Kelly and Judy. Like, especially Kelly. Like, Kelly is, I don't know, the way some of the situations she's been put in and how she handles like conflict and things like that. I'm like, she is like, she's like a leader at heart. That's what it is. She's a natural born leader. That's
she, what she is. And not only the detriment to the show, but to that organization. I mean, even to the future of the DCC is just, it's kind of, I can't even really imagine that without them. So but all the episodes are on Netflix. If you want to binge that and stream it, if you love the Cowboys, you're probably already watching it. If you just like great reality with heart, I think it's a good choice as well. So even if you don't like football, I mean, you're like, I'm not into football. You should still watch it. It's just really in-depth look at just personalities and just what it means to be passionate about something.
Agreed.
For sure. One quick question before we get into some more we're watching, because I don't want to run out of time. This is just a random question that I just want to see what you felt, because I was thinking about this the other day. If you would you take a month, I don't know, either on a dare or just to win something, and you could watch no streaming, you could only watch live network television. That's all you could watch. Like if you got home at the end of the day, you turn on the television, whatever's live on NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, that's what you had to watch. Whatever, just like the old days. For a month. You didn't get to pick and choose what you wanted to watch. You could maybe DVR some stuff, because we have gotten to the point with DVR. But I just meant from the aspect of not having choices.
Okay,
I think choices are overwhelming sometimes.
If I could DVR, then yes, because I'm very spoiled with commercials.
See, that's the thing too. The commercials, I think, would be the tipping point. But I think it would be, there was something just in me that was like, because sometimes I'll sit down and it's like, what am I going to watch? I've got 8 streaming services. I've got thousands of options. And it's like, it's overwhelming to the point I sometimes don't end up watching anything. Just the old school feeling of just turning on the TV and go, oh, this is the one, I guess I'm going to watch it.
I still love that, because I obviously still have cable. And I do. There is something about like, I love being able to just turn on the TV and naturally Nick at Night's got Friends on or something. I'm like, oh, this is nice. I actually really like that, like at a hotel. So at a hotel, that is actually what I prefer.
And that's what brought it up. I was at a hotel the other night and I was like, it was just like, you know, just the whole thing of like, let me turn on and see what's on TV. The whole concept of what's on TV.
We went up to
Oklahoma City with my son to celebrate his friend's birthday and just kind of catch up with some people. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Well, that's what, like when we went to Omaha and then this last time when I went to LA, every time I go to a hotel, there's something, I actually prefer it. I prefer to just go to that guide and see what's on, and I just leave it on. It's more like comfort in a hotel. Mm-hmm. Like that's like the nostalgia that I keep. Going to a hotel and just finding what's on TV and going with that. Cause there's no pressure. I don't treat a hotel like I got to watch one of my shows or movie that I haven't seen.
Right. Yeah. And it just brought back the feeling of, hey, what's on TV? Cause now the answer is everything. Everything's on TV. But there was a moment in time when there was only a certain things that were on. And that's what you had to watch depending on the night and the day. And so, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it for a whole month, but it would be
interesting. A month's a long time.
It'd be an interesting, just kind of a social experiment to see what that would feel like.
Yeah.
Even removing the DVR, you can only watch. And if you miss it, you just freaking miss it. Too bad.
You just miss it. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you and I both watched They Will Kill You on HBO.
Yes, we did.
We were waiting for that. I feel like I might have liked it a little bit more than you, but I think we were almost the same as far as it was just fun, forgettable, bloody humor. It wanted to be some things that it wasn't, but I think it was entertaining enough that fans of Ready or Not and people like that would like it.
Yeah. I mean, it feels very much like a synonym for Ready or Not. That's what it felt like to me. It's like, okay, well, we like this. Let's just make it a little different. How can we do that? Tarantino meets Ready or Not. Like,
right.
With the, I don't know. I think it's also so tacky, like when the blood squirts every time something is cut off. It's just like, cause it's like, Trevor's always like, that's not what happens. That's not how it goes. So there's like blood spray, like, psh.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, it was, the performances were great. I love Zazie. I was intrigued, same. But definitely towards the end. And even though it was a short movie, it felt long. That was the weird thing because it was so repetitive. And I was just kind of like, okay, can we get here? Just like you said, the eyeball thing. And I'm just like, you're dragging this out. Let's get to where we need to go. I did like the ending, though. I thought the ending was good.
I did, too. It had moments of great, not I'll say greatness.
Yeah.
For the genre and for what it was. There were moments of really cool stuff going on. But you're right. It got bogged down with other things in moments. I thought it started so strong. I was like, man, this has got an American Horror Story vibe. You're in this cool hotel. These people are like watching from the vents and they have like
that was
scary mask on. It was so creepy. And the first time you see one of the people in the mask, you're like, oh man, this is going to be really. And then it gets so funny and cheesy that you're like, okay, what is going on here? And so, and it was funny too, because there's some big names in there and no spoiler, but I was like, dang, they're not going to be in this show very long. And then you find out why, but it was interesting. So yeah, it's on HBO right now. I do kind of recommend it for people who just want a silly streaming. If you're into that genre, if you like that.
Yeah. Just like you said, you have to brace yourself. It is very silly because I didn't expect the initial twist, like at the very top.
Right.
Like you said, like you think, oh, wow, this person's famous and they're already gone. Like what?
Right.
And you're kind of like, oh, that's kind of like, I don't know how much I like this, but it's fine.
All right. Well, in a couple minutes we have left, what else are you watching that you would just totally recommend? You're like, hey, don't miss this. Don't sleep on this.
Well, I'm watching Drag Race All-Stars, but I always prefer the regular season more than the All-Stars, but I'm watching that. I'm also currently watching Off Campus. I finally jumped on that. That's been out for a while, but you know, I love me some good like teen, college-based, high school, whatever it is. This one's college. Romance. So it's fun. As I said, it's not Summer I Turn Pretty, but I can watch it. I like it enough. I did, what is it called? I thought there was something I watched. I can't remember now.
I don't know, because we watch so much stuff.
There's so much. It's so hard to keep track. Obviously, Avatar Last Airbender season 2 comes out on Friday. If you like that kind of stuff, you'll love it. It's a good one for that genre. Yeah, what about you?
Look, you know, just something. Picking and choosing stuff. We're still watching always all of our little cooking stuff and the couple movies that we watched and then we talked about. I started Spider-Noir on Prime with Nicolas Cage. Yeah, I watched it in black and white and then I watched it in color. I'm about 2 episodes in. It's different. It doesn't feel like Spider-Man, any Spider-Verse thing at all.
Uh-huh.
So I liked that about it. It was just kind of this fun little detective. Like I said, it has that throwback noir feel to it. So I would say if you like Nicolas Cage and you like anything Marvel and you like something that's just different, then it's definitely worth watching. So, but other than that, we haven't been watching a lot of new stuff.
Are you going to keep watching it or are you not?
I'm going to keep watching it. I'm definitely
going to finish it.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't finished The Boys, have you?
No, I still haven't finished The Boys.
Oh, you got to watch that one.
I know I do. There's a lot of stuff I got to keep
watching. Yeah, I know. I know.
So there's that. And there's something else that we were going to watch. We just started a Harlan Coben. I don't know if you know him or not. He does all these series. A lot of them are on Netflix. There's like little 8 episode series. They're usually like mysteries or some kind of crime thing. So we're watching one of those with Sam Worthington right now. That's really good.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, of course, I think everybody needs to watch Maternal Instinct. One of the craziest.
Wait, did you watch it?
Yeah, it's one of the craziest freaking movies I've ever watched. And it texts us saying, next week we need to talk about that next week.
Well, I was about to say, I didn't know you watched it. We have to talk about that. Otherwise, I would have been like, okay, next week we're talking about that wild documentary because that is a must watch.
It is. So I wanted to really get into America's Sweethearts this week and a couple things. So next week we're going to talk about Maternal Instinct because that is insanity for sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't with that.
Yeah, well, everything Susan does, check out thischicksflix.com. We're at mongolshow.com. We'll see you more next week.